truth is out there. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a very special guest here who's going to shed some truth on us like a snake peeling off its skin and throwing it to the side.
Do they do that? Do they throw the skin?
They grow arms temporarily. They throw the skin, and then they go back to being very
sick. Oh, it's in the skin.
It's in the skin. It's in the skin. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, here on I Want to Believe, our search to the paranormal, as we do every month or 3 months or 6 months, depending on our mood. With me, of course, we have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
What's up?
Jesus, what was that?
Tanner
Calvert, the French paranormal aristocrat himself, right now dressed in orange. You guys can't see this at home, but he looks like a nerd.
Looks like a peach.
Like a peach. Piece of trash is what he looks like. All right.
Jesus.
Also with us tonight, Double H.
I just want you to start calling me Snake Arms McSkin.
All right. Well, that's it. Hunter, please go change. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Tanner.
It's a whole new crew.
Tanner, the last time we had a special guest on, I believe it was Scott Walter from the Travel Channel, from the History Channel. Scott Walter joined us.
Wow.
In the most insane interview we have ever done on Podzilla 1985. This man, just to lay the groundwork on what our guest tonight is up against.
Insane in a good way.
In the best way. This is what you're up against tonight, sir. Scott Walter came on. He told us about the shadow government that had contacted him. He talked about aliens being on Earth and how he's been in contact with them. He also might have been a little bit tipsy. So we'll see how tonight goes. Tanner, please.
I honestly think that just made him say more.
Yes, and that's what I love.
I don't think it was a less thing.
We need to give our people more alcohol. That's the thing. That's why they have green rooms in talk shows. Yeah. Tanner, please introduce our special guest for tonight.
So about 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, I can't remember exactly. I was at a CCW show in Charleston, Missouri, and my brother calls me and says, "Hey, there's an ambulance at the hospital." I said, "Yeah, that's a good place for an ambulance." And he said, "No, the Caro Hospital, which has been closed since the late 80s.
That's where I was born.
And then he says that it says something about ghost hunting on the side. So I immediately get in the car and I take off to Caro. I pull up and I meet this gentleman standing outside from the ambulance. We begin talking and he invited me in with everybody. And we've been pretty close ever since. We worked together pretty well on the paranormal stuff. Scott Poole from American Ghost Project.
Hey.
Joins us here tonight.
That's right. So, we started out in Caro and kind of did our scouting adventure. We're not too far away. We're about 30 minutes away in Sykes, Southeast Missouri. And the hospital is where, but I didn't want to go in without permission from the owner. I got a hold of the owner and signed a contract, a carte blanche, an exclusivity.
Waiver.
Yeah, waiver, exclusivity contract. With David out of Mount Vernon. He no longer owns the hospital as of January, but we had carte blanche for 2 years.
It is a terrifying place, that's for sure.
It can be.
Yes, for the living and the dead.
It's really not that bad. Now the hospital, so I feel like we're probably going to focus most of the episode on just our findings and our experiences at that place, even though there's other things I want to talk about. Scott, I know you recently had a trip to the Missouri State Penitentiary that I absolutely want to talk about.
Absolutely, we're still going over footage. We will be going over footage for, I would say, months.
Yeah. Joining us out of nowhere.
Hey, it's a female of the group, Lindsay Wolfgang. Lindsay, we're here with Scott from American Ghost Project. Scott, well, Lindsay, hello, by the way. Thanks for joining us late. And she stuck her tongue out. Not confirming that she's here. Scott, you know, what's funny is Tanner has talked about you, nonstop for months. It's honestly a little bit creepy. But... but, you know, he very much hypes up American Ghost Project. He's very fond of it. He's a huge fan and is so proud to be part of it. And, you know, we were at the Paranormal Conference of the Unknown a couple of months ago and watched some of your footage, watched some of your stuff. And ever since then, I occasionally, I'll go on Reddit. Not often. It's terrible. But I see you popping up there all the time now. American Ghost Project is on Reddit. I'm on the Ghost sub and all these other things. And I see American Ghost Project on there. I see footage. It's really cool.
Yeah, we've been trying to stay up with Reddit. We've got a pretty good presence on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You name it. Name the site, we're there. We try to be forward when it comes to, I guess I could say social forward when it comes to our evidence. We're trying to get it out to as many folks as we can.
So how did this start for you?
It's pretty simple. My father his name was Anthony Gerald Poole. He was a doctor in Southeast Missouri for 30 plus years and would have told you that all of this paranormal stuff is baloney. But the night that he passed, actually it was the morning of Christmas morning 2014, he proved to all of us that your energy goes somewhere. And apparently it was into the study, like the door flung open. We went in there. There were papers all over the place. That wasn't the only paranormal thing that happened. There were other things that happened in the house. It got to be so bad after he passed that my mom had to eventually move out of the house into a smaller one. And I know, you know, fast forward to 2019, we were watching Ghost Adventures on TV, and I'd watched them before, and I was like, I can do this. I don't know why I'm watching these guys. There are plenty of haunted places around me where I live. I could just go and feature some of that. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I really didn't have a plan. It's kind of snowballed. I asked my nephew if he wanted to go, and he was like, yeah, we got into the old Sikeston City Jail in Sikeston, Missouri, which once we started asking around is very haunted. And a lot of good evidence came out of that investigation. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And we've grown on Facebook, and we've got a pretty good presence on YouTube and TikTok. So here we are, fast forward to 2023.
So when you started this, before all this happened, did you have an interest in the paranormal, or was that really what jump-started your interest in general?
I think I'd always had an interest in the paranormal, but I never really considered doing any of this stuff myself. I'd had events occur whenever I was during my first marriage, and I kind of, that aha moment came to me just the other day, because my eldest son had just graduated from high school. I watched him graduate on Sunday, and I was around my ex-wife, and it occurred to me that during our marriage, which was a good, you know, it was from like 90, like we were married from 06 to not very long, but we were together from 99 to around 2009. And during that time, I did have occurrences where the whole sleep paralysis thing happened. It would never occur to me if we had the lights on, which is strange. So she'd always want me to sleep with the lights on. If I ever wanted to sleep with the lights off, that's when that would happen. And now after years and hundreds of investigations later, I spoke to Brian Kano, who used to be on Haunted Collector. He was my mentor for a little while. He studied under John Zaffis. He's good friends with John Zaffis, who's the nephew of Ed and Lorraine Warren of Conjuring fame. He told me that regardless of what anybody thinks about sleep paralysis, just know this: you're at your most vulnerable when you're asleep and in between those stages of consciousness. And that's when they'll reach out to you. And I'm like, they be in spirit, right? He's like, yeah. And it's an open conduit. It's like basically each person, as they go to sleep, they have to look it up. There's like five levels of consciousness. I need to look this up, how many levels of consciousness there are, because I was just talking about this the other day.
I try to hover around three, personally.
You never quite get out of the three.
Four is a
dry around there.
Tanner, go ahead.
The irony of him talking about this is, Shannon, I know for a fact that you've dealt with sleep paralysis and the paranormal one that's happening, because you called me after coming snapping out of this in the past.
Yeah, sleep paralysis is one of the most terrifying things, if not the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me. that feeling of dread, that feeling like, I mean, at first you're not sure if you're alive or dead. Your eyes are open, but you can't move. You can't control anything, but you can still hear, you can see. You're not sure if it's a dream. You're not sure if this is the afterlife. If anyone out there has watched Tales from the Crypt, the episode with Humphrey Bogart, where he was a corpse watching everything around him and he could not do anything because he was dead. That's kind of how it felt. So it is absolutely frightening, for sure.
So for the anesthesiologist, and this is the medical side of me, where I was a medic in the United States Army for 20 years. So I want to learn and want to get that scientific side of it and get and reach out. And when we do reach out and when we do our study, so our rewind a little bit, what the American Ghost Project is about is research. We have three things that we do: research, investigate, and archive. That's our three main goals. If you were just someone that sat me down and said, hey, what's the American Ghost Project all about? I want to further the needle the right direction, not the other direction, and assist other paranormal investigators as they get going, and reach out to others so we can network and gather all that investigative knowledge and push the needle forward so we can get some answers.
So I have to ask, I asked Scott Walter this because, you know, of course, Scott Walter was on the Travel Channel, which at the time, especially, I don't know if they're still on there, but you mentioned Ghost Adventures earlier. I also watch Ghost Adventures pretty religiously, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Brothers, anything with ghost in it. Now, how do you feel about those shows?
Officially, early days of Ghost Adventures were legit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Zach, and I'll go on record saying this, I still feel like he's a very strong, sensitive, like myself. He's got his own clairvoyant level to him that he continues to embrace and learn about and continues pushing the needle forward. But I believe that they are a little bit overplayed. He's got too much clout when it comes to the Travel Channel and this recent thing with Destination Fear is.
Yeah.
So I reached out to a few folks, and one of them was somebody very close to Dakota. And I know for a fact that because of Zach's pull is the reason why that show got pulled. So now they're on YouTube, and it's a shameless plug for not even us, but they haven't even dropped a video yet. They got over 100,000 subs. It's called Project Fear. So they're over on YouTube now. They're going to do good things.
That's right. Yeah, that's was that still Nick Groff attached to that?
No, Nick was with Zach and the team until the end of season 13, left on his own accord because he didn't want to. I spoke to him offline, and he said that he didn't want to go back to Bobby Mackey's, and he was forced to, because whatever happened at Bobby Mackey's the second time they were there, he brought it home. Mm. And the third time, it was even worse, and he endangered his family. So he said, "Not enough. It's either Zach's way or the highway, and I can't do that." Nick's doing his own thing. He's got Tessa. And she's a medium, and they're an awesome investigative couple, and I follow them on just about every social media channel I can.
I would love to have Zach Bagans on the show. I really would. That's one of my dreams. And I would love to ask him, are you okay? Like, are you doing all right, Zach? All right.
Well, like Scott talked about, the early days of the show were great. That first documentary was groundbreaking, in my opinion. That was
2004.
Goldfield, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's just gotten – I mean, Scott, we joke around a lot on the show. We call that, you know, his crew now Scooby-Douche and the gang.
Scooby-Douche, yeah.
He just – he goes very heavy into the being disrespectful, trying to get reactions from spirits, and that's, I think he's over the top. It's just not my thing.
Well, he's almost a parody of himself. The show is a parody of – it's almost like the movie Grave Encounters, but they did a live-action version of it, which is ironic because Grave Encounters was just a parody of Ghost Adventures. But it feels like the market is so oversaturated with with shows like this, and I don't know if it's gotten better since a couple of years ago, but the Travel Channel had like 50 different ghost hunting shows on it.
No, they're bad. There's a lot of them that are just trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Most.
I mean, like, how the hell are you on the Travel Channel?
Right.
Because they're garbage. I graduated with a media production degree from Missouri State, went on to film school. I didn't get to do any of that because I got deployed to Iraq in 2003. And we shot a movie for the Sci-Fi Channel. And I say we, but I was in the sound production and I was a boom operator. I was like 20 years old. Or not 20, 21, 22 years old. And it was a movie called Larva. And I had some really good contacts in L.A., and I was starting to move in that direction, and then all of a sudden I got deployed and I lost all those contacts. Life happens, we get pregnant, we have kids, end up staying in Missouri. But fast forward to me and my middle-aged Scott version, and now I get to utilize all of my media talent to be able to produce a show and do it in what I feel like is the right way, a way to honor my father, AGP, the American Ghost Project. I named it after my dad. And we aren't going to put anything up that I can't, I'm not saying 100% verify, because some of the stuff that we have, it's questionable. Like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what spirit is saying here, because I'll hear something different than my 20-year-old nephew sitting right behind me. And Tanner may be in the booth with us one day and be like, I can't hear that at all. Or my mom will be sitting next to us. We're reviewing EVPs. She's 70. Obviously, her hearing is not the same. She's not going to hear the same as you and I will. So it's interesting, the evidence that we catch. None of it is going to be made up or BS. I assure you of that.
I have a legitimate – sorry, Tanner. Sure, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, like at this point, I've seen a lot of the evidence. I've seen a lot of the evidence that you posted. Tanner showed me a lot of it. And there's a good chunk of it that I have gone, you know, well, I don't know what that is. That's pretty incredible. I don't know how that exists. There's a lot of stuff that I'll see that it's like, okay, well, there could be explanations for this. I remain a skeptic. That's why the show is called I Want to Believe and not I Believe, is because, you know, I think it's important to remain skeptical. Would you agree with that, that you have to remain skeptical, especially when you're searching for the truth?
Yeah, we aim to debunk first. There's got to be a logical explanation for X, Y, and Z happening. But just like Tanner and I have been at the hospital, which, by the way, every single time I go there, something different happens. It's never the same. And that's what's kind of amazing about that hospital, is that sometimes, and I'm not talking about levels of activity, it's always active. There's always something going on. But if something does happen, there may be a sequence of events that led up to that spirit interacting with us. And I was just going over, by the way, Tanner, I was just going over footage from Sumner the last time we were there.
Yeah.
I believe you were there. You were holding one of the cameras.
Yeah.
And remember, you had like a full spectrum body camera on. We are up in that all the way down the long hallway on the second floor, on the top floor, all the way down the hallway on the right. Got spirit, and it kind of got me the other day, man. Sometimes when I come across footage and I hear him speak for the first time, I get a little emotional, because how frustrating can it be for you to be talking to somebody and they can't see or hear you? And you're just like, I'm right here. I'm standing right in front of you.
Every relationship I've had.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But we caught spirit saying, why can't you hear me? And I heard that and I'm like, I can't hear you because I'm not a medium. I mean, I'm studying to be one, but I can't just dial into a place like some of these other mediums can and just know exactly where they are and hear them and all that. I will tell you this, Tanner, that Mounds High School, that high school in Mounds,
yeah,
I could hear them talking. That's probably one of the first times that I was so dialed into a place that I could actually hear them talking out loud.
That's awesome. And Hunter still had a question too, and when I get to him, but I know when I met you there, I had my daughter with me, and I believe that she's sensitive as well, because I know my wife is. mm-hmm. and she's picked up on things. That day at the high school here in Mounds, Douglas School, before you guys even pulled up, she got out of the car and said, "Daddy, you know this place isn't scary." She goes, "There's it's nice here."
Yeah.
And she wanted to go in. "I'm not taking you in there." Now, rewind 6-7 weeks prior to that, she wanted to go to the hospital with Carol, so I took her in the middle of the day. We walk in the first floor. We walk all around. I let her explore everything. Nothing. She's not scared of nothing. She's walking in every room. Nothing. We get to the second floor, and we start heading down that hallway. And immediately, she's terrified. Her whole body is shaking.
Like straight ahead, not to the right, but straight ahead?
No. To the right.
To the right. That surgical floor that we are always, we always gravitate toward.
Yep. Okay. So we had to leave. Or she had to leave right after that.
I don't think spirit at that location, the ones that are there, mean anybody any harm. I just think that they're so strong.
Yeah.
That for, and here's what's crazy, and this goes for the skeptics out there, and this is what's really awesome. I'm just the other day, we were walking around during the day, like doing a paranormal urbex. And I had the ghost portal set, walking around with the ghost portal. And I built my own ghost portal. It's just a battery-operated guitar pedal with a spirit box attached to it. And you guys are gamers. So Creative made a little sound blaster that you can attach to, like, say, a laptop that didn't have an amplifier. It's basically a USB powered amplifier. It boosts the signal from the spirit box, and then it's attached to sound suppression and some other stuff. But I'm walking around with this thing, and you don't hear anything until I start going down the hallway. And then all of a sudden spirit's talking, and then my back starts hurting, like almost immediately, like excruciating pain. And that's how I know that they're near. That's one of my tells. And then I back off, they stop talking, and my back's fine. Then I get close again. Like, it's one of those things. As a scientist, my scientist brain is wanting to prove, is that a portal there? Or is that just where they're gathered? Or is that just where their frequency is the strongest? I don't know. I have more questions than answers at this point.
Hunter, go ahead, and then I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, and it's a good time because Tanner just walked away. Earlier, I just wanted to welcome him back from the sun, and he came back.
I noticed Tanner was in literal hell.
Bright red.
Yeah.
Bright red that he came back. Scott, quickly, I know that you guys kind of all have your own proprietary setups, and everybody does different things, or variations of different things, but, like, what's a typical maybe not day, but I guess, like, what's the typical setup for you guys? Like, when you go to investigate a location, where do you start? Like, what's your go-to thing? What's the process look like?
Digital audio recorder, and I got a steal of a deal on this Sony. I don't even know where it is, one of my packs. But it's a great little Sony digital audio recorder. And I do use my father's Olympus, which I feel like I have a strong connection with because A, it's his, and B, I've gotten some incredible EVPs off of it. And let me think here. What else? I mean, of course, K2s and REM pods and stuff, but I don't necessarily, at this stage, I guess you could say in my career as a paranormal investigator, I don't need a K2 or a REM pod. I'll tell you when spirit's near. I can feel them. But for the typical investigator, or at least for our team, it would definitely be like so there's a, and again, I don't know where it is, but I've got a Ramel. I don't know if you know what a Ramel is. It's basically a Mel meter with a REM pod built into it. It's like one of my best pieces of tech because it's not only is it measuring electromagnetic energy around me, but if something gets near that antenna, it's going off, it's going crazy. So that means they're right in front of me. We've got our own SLS. I'll only bring that out if we're going to be mobile.
Yeah, Shannon, his is completely mobile. It all mounts to a vest that he wears, and he can actually walk around with it.
Tanner, mine's mobile too. I carry it, and as long as I've got enough cord, I can go wherever I want.
Everything's mobile with long enough cord, Tanner.
Everything's mobile if you walk. So when it comes to paranormal equipment, most of it I'll buy. Most of it I'll say, yeah, that sounds like it could be legit. But there are some things that I think are so ridiculous. Because again, I am a skeptic. I want to believe in the paranormal. I've seen what I consider to be ghosts. I'm fairly certain I've come across a ghost or two in my time, stuff I can't explain. But some of the stuff that they have, and I don't know if you use this or what your thoughts are on it, but some of the stuff that is so ridiculous that it I find it almost insulting to common sense and intelligence that it would work. Like the little thing, I don't know what it's called. Tanner, help me out. The little thing that the ghost can manipulate to create words or pull words from a dictionary, which I think is about the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in a ghost hunt. And, especially on ghost hunters, you see Zach and them walking around. They've got this thing out, and they're like, it'll pop up and say, like, you know, door. And they go, oh, my God, there's a door right behind us. Like, that's – what do you think about that? Is that something you use? Do you think that's legit?
Well, you're referring to the obelisk. We have an obelisk 5B. It was built by Bill Chappell, and believe it or not, I've conversated with Bill Chappell, who's an amazing inventor. It's got a million word database or something ridiculous, 300,000 word database or something ridiculous. The thought process behind, and it does, the obelisk does a lot more than just, it is a word database, but it does a lot more than just that. It measures fluctuations in the environment. But the thought process is, if spirit is electromagnetic energy and can figure out the device, it takes them a little while to figure out things. If the conscious mind exists past death, let's just get that out now. If it does, in fact, then that means that there is some kind of intelligence that we carry on into the afterlife. Then if you're not, like, say we're interacting with a spirit from the 1800s, they are not going to look at that device and go, I automatically know how to work that. That's why, like, we took, I'll get to Missouri State, and I'll kind of segue into Missouri State for Tanner and answer this question in a twofold kind of way. Utilizing the ghost portal, I don't expect spirit, the ones that are there, to be able to interact with that device and know how it works. Because I'll encourage them, because I know what it sounds like when they're trying to manipulate the actual radio frequency. And by the way, our spirit boxes, and I've told Tanner this, we actually worked with an inventor out of Cape that helped us break apart our spirit boxes and remove the antennas without destroying the board, the circuit board, because they're soldered to the board. They're almost immovable. So he helped us desolder them and figure out. So they don't pick up any AM/FM radio stations, but you can hear them going, like it's just this real gruff, and I'll encourage them, and all of a sudden words start coming through, which is kind of neat. So if spirit can figure out how to work and utilize and manipulate the ghost portal, then I don't see any reason why they couldn't figure out the obelisk and I never thought I would actually say this, apps on your phone, because the way that you can test these apps is we've got Spirit Talker. Put it on airplane mode. The app itself is like 15, and I'm serious when I say this, it's like 15 kilobytes. That is a very small app when it comes to size. That's incredibly small. So I don't know where they'll talk in full sentences on Spirit Talker. And I've seen Twin Paranormal on YouTube utilize it. They'll show on the camera swiping down and going on airplane mode. And I can't explain some of the things that are happening when it comes to spirit manipulating these devices. To some, it may sound ridiculous, but at the same time, if they can manipulate and speak through the ghost portal, I see no reason why they can't speak through an obelisk or an app on your phone.
So before I push this over to Tanner, because I know he has questions about Missouri State, the penitentiary and all those things. I do. You bring up Twin Paranormal, one of my favorite YouTube sites. I spend pretty much every night watching paranormal videos. I mean, that's just how I go to sleep at night, honestly. Hunter, we've made the joke that I'm Mulder in that episode where Charles Nelson Reilly is discussing his psyche.
Jose Chung's from Outer Space.
Greatest X-Files episode of all time. So do you have any YouTube sites that you particularly like to watch, any channels? For me, Nuke's Top 5, Sir Spooks, places like that are ones that I love to watch. Do you have any that you prefer? And have you submitted videos and been on any of those channels?
No, we have submitted, and I don't know why Jay has turned us down, but he's turned us down several times, and I'm like, Jay, you've got to put us on your channel. He constantly gives me, I'm giving him shit, he's giving me shit. He was looking for a new editor, Noobs, whose name was Jay, by the way. He was looking for an editor probably a month ago, and I applied. Unfortunately, I made the final cut, but I didn't make the final cut. And I was kind of disappointed. But then again, we are so busy doing what we are doing that it might have taken away from what our mission is, which is focused on the paranormal. And if I'm working as an editor for another channel, I may not be able to have time to do what I would like to do, which is our mission. So it works out. But I like watching Nukes. Slapped Ham is one of those shows that
I call him.
Yeah, but I also call him the paranormal whore for YouTube. Because he'll just he'll just put whatever video up. It doesn't really matter. We've given him stuff and he hasn't featured anything in a month. Seriously.
I'll see.
Cut and we didn't. It's just ridiculous.
I thought that was Chills because I used to watch Chills' channel a lot, and more. I swear to God, once I watched a video of his, and he literally had a clip from the movie The Taking of Deborah Logan, one of my favorite horror films of the past 10 plus years, and it was the scene where she is opening her snake-like mouth and eating this little girl, and he actually put this video in his videos and said we don't know what the context is of, you know, in his voice and whatnot. And I thought that's ridiculous that you don't, you know, for the paranormal community to be taken seriously, for channels other than just exploiting people's curiosity and belief, for places and people like this to be taken seriously, and for this whole, you know, thing to be taken seriously, you have to vet some of this shit and not post clips from horror films and claim they're actual paranormal, because then it makes you look low class, second rate, in my opinion. But I'm critical.
I literally just heard someone talk out loud, and I'm the only one in the studio.
Now that I like to see on the show.
The new studio. That's what you want.
That's what I want.
In the moment.
In the moment. This live on the podcast, yes.
So we're in the middle of moving.
Are you in the new studio right now, Scott?
No. No, dude. No.
Well,
I'm literally physically in, like, I just got back from a little mini vacay in Springfield. I'm still, like, just physically, mentally drained from moving all the equipment and the gear. And see, we got one of our first investigations was in Commerce, which is a town just north of, or just south of Scott City and on the Missouri side. And we were able to capture, we've only gotten a handful of class, what I would consider a class A peak. And we captured Abion, Uncle Abion, talking, and actually got his name a few times. Now this guy died in the 70s, lived a long time, was the great uncle of the caretaker of the home now. So it's had seven generations of Petersons in that house, and almost all of their belongings are still there. There is a chair in the house that is pre-Confederate War. And the reason, not Confederate, sorry, pre-Revolutionary War. And the reason why they know that is because the tin that they used to repair it is from England before 1776, which is amazing. So there's a lot of history in the house. I did not know that they would eventually become our executive producer. So they fund what we do. Just so you guys know, that's the reason why we have a studio. I have this incredible computer to my left.
It's a sweet looking computer. Thanks. I'm admiring it from here. Yeah.
I'm looking behind me, and I have 112 terabyte, 115, and I just bought another 18 terabyte hard drive. I have terabytes of footage that we have not gone over.
So really quick, Tanner, before you jump into it, because I want to turn it over to you, but I do. You mentioned the equipment. How much do you think you've spent, or the team has spent, the investor or whatever, on the equipment to do what you do?
$54,879.
All right, let's go to Tanner now. I'm leaving.
I think this is a man who's done his taxes recently.
That broke my heart. Yeah.
Listen, you don't have to do that. We bought a $7,000 DJI Ronin 40. Now, there was a reason why. Go on to DJI's website sometime and look up the Ronin 40. It is they basically built a gimbal around a camera, okay? Part of the reason why I went for a camera like this is because it has LiDAR capability. I have a theory that you pull up the LiDAR on the screen, and I want to show this to Tanner sometime. It's a super expensive camera to bring on investigations, but I'd like to be able to showcase it sometime because it's LiDAR technology enables the autofocus on the lens. That's what it's built for, right? But it shows like a top-down view of a person. So the theory is if Spirit shows up on LiDAR, we'll be able to see the movement if it's just sitting as a static camera. So I want to incorporate LiDAR into our investigation. So we haven't been able to do it yet. I haven't been able to convince the executive producer to bring a $7,000 camera into an abandoned hospital yet. One of the cameras is we have Panasonic 4Ks that shoot in infrared. We've got really nice gear. So we are fortunate. Let me check this. I'm sorry. I'm trying to coordinate.
While you're doing that, man, you're good. I actually just dropped a picture. If you guys go into the text, Tanner and Shannon, the DJI Ronin 4D, I found a picture of it.
That would be the sweet looking camera. Yeah.
That we're discussing there.
We've got a it's a heavy camera, just so you guys know. It's not something you just walk around with.
It looks
it's extremely heavy. So we've got a tilter rig that goes with it. So it's like it's got that 4D axis plus the tilta. It's the smoothest camera that you could possibly walk around with and record. So if and when we do our new show, which I can plug and talk about with you guys.
Yes.
Because we have a promoter. Along with having an executive producer, we have a promoter that's paid an ungodly amount of money a month. I would never be able to afford it, but he gets paid $400 a week. No, excuse me, $600 a week. On TikTok and YouTube and help us promote and get us into the right audiences. It's just, we're blessed. I don't know.
You're doing the work the right way.
Yeah, it's extremely humbling to be in the position that we are in, to be where we are.
I didn't say this earlier. I want to say it now that we are very happy to have you on the show, by the way. I know I said Tanner's excited about it. We're very excited to have you on, too. I love what you guys are doing. I love paranormal investigations in general. So thank you so much for taking the time out to come on for us. And Tanner, but before we get to you and talking about all the new stuff, I do have to ask, I have to ask, what is the single best piece of evidence you've caught?
Probably the partial apparition. It's so funny. It's such a good story. So our first investigation at the the Anderson home in, and we call it Commerce Manor, but the Anderson home in Commerce, Missouri. It's an historic home. It's on the historic registry of historic places in the United States. You ought to look up the on our channel the top five video, and it's I could find it and link it to you guys, but
yeah,
it's last video on that it actually was at the we played it at the Paracon where Mama Joe walks from the park into just and I fast forward because she didn't even know how to turn on the microphone. We were so new, she forgot to turn on the microphone. These newer cameras that we have, they run off the hot shoe, if you know anything about cameras, and they automatically turn on the as soon as you start recording, they turn on the microphone. So it's really kind of dumbed it down for a lot of the crew, which is nice. The older ones are these cheaper Chinese cameras, and nothing against the Chinese cameras. They were just cheaper cameras. You get what you pay for. And she goes into the what used to be the living room, is now the dining room, and sets the camera on the table facing one of the bay windows that faces the backyard. And I'll be damned if... And she just sits it there, and it's recording, and she walks off. I think she forgot it was recording. It doesn't matter. It's amazing because what happens is a spirit, a partial apparition, you can see it moving a lantern back and forth, and then it walks by the window.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
It blows my mind because we tried to debunk it, but here's what we found out later. If you're standing by the window, you'd have to be about 9 or 10 feet tall to be in that window. And here's the thing. You got to remember Commerce, Missouri, or if you didn't know, now you know, is in a floodplain. The government came in and bought a whole bunch of homes out in 2012. And some of the folks took the buyout, moved. Other people...
For those of you listening, we're not paused. He is hearing something where he is, and we're
watching it in real time.
We're watching it in real time. I wish you guys could see that.
We're in a 100-year-old hotel. I'm going to miss this studio. We are in a 100-year-old hotel, and I'm in I'm in what used to be the banquet room.
And oh, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, the banquet room. Yeah.
Yeah. So my wife is trying to call me. I'm sure she's like, "Where are you, babe?"
Tell her the banquet room.
I'm trying to. Give me just a second. Let me text my wife back.
Yeah, absolutely. While you're doing that, I don't know if it was that clip or another one, but I did see something from American Ghost Project, and I forget which channel it was, but I did see a clip on there, and I don't know if it was that one or if it was one that was in a basement, but I watch these things late at night. It's how I fall asleep. It's what I watch in all my free time, and I just remember sitting there half asleep, and they said American Ghost Project, and my ears perked up, and I was like, wait, I know them. So, you know, what's that?
Somebody was talking about us.
Somebody was talking about you on one of the channels. I can't remember which one now. I'd send it to you, but it's always very cool, and I'm always proud to see people come up in this, especially in the I don't want to say industry because that makes it sound so commercialized. And I know, you know, with Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and Ghost Brothers and Ghost Dog and Ghost Friends that it does feel kind of commercialized. But I truly believe there are some people that do this for the love of it and for the search for the truth. And, you know, I respect that a lot. And
Shannon, don't take that too much further because eventually you're going to hit Ghost Dad, and that's Cosby. We don't want to talk about
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk
that's
about
that. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
We have been live on TikTok, by the way.
Son of a bitch.
No, not right now.
I don't think he means right now.
Oh, thank God.
We have been live on TikTok before, live on Facebook and YouTube, reviewing footage, and stuff's happened here. It's funny. Here's what's funny. The owner of this building runs Jeremiah's of sites from California, and is a skeptic. He's never really told me out loud, but he just kind of, you know, doesn't, he just kind of laughs off what we do. The other day, I mean, not even 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, right before we told him that I'm moving out, he comes around the corner. He calls me and he says, "Hey, can you come into the back? Can you come back to the back, to the entrance to Jeremiah's?" And I walk around there and he goes, "Hey, man, you don't have a key to get upstairs, do you?" And I go, "No." "You don't let anybody up there, do you?" And I'm like, "No." Because right above me is the Del Rey Hotel, or the other part of the Del Rey Hotel that's been preserved in time. No one goes up there. It shut down in the 60s and it's been boarded up. I mean, there's stuff up there that there's boxes of, there are cartons of soap up there that haven't been opened from the 60s. It's like a time capsule. It's crazy. Bed frames are still up there. It's nuts. Anyway, did I say it's crazy already?
maybe so once. Yeah.
His new server is opening. And she hears something running around upstairs. And then this is at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is not night. Spirit doesn't know what time it is. Running around upstairs. They both know. And then Chris hears it. They both know it's not an animal. Because they can hear him laughing upstairs, running back and forth. And I just look at him like, "Okay." Like, "I told you it's haunted." And he goes, wait, "You're serious about this?" And I go, "No, man, this is, I'm just joking." "Yeah, I'm serious about this. I do every day. I live and breathe this, man. I get off from work and sometimes my work follows me home. Sometimes I just get on YouTube and watch cars crash into each other because I just you know, idiots driving, total idiots at work or whatever. I turn my brain completely off. But the look on his face, I wish you'd have been there, Kane, because it's one of those like aha moments for him. Like, oh shit, I'm in a haunted. In a haunted space.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, Tanner, unleash. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, hang on. Before he does that, I have one question that I don't think is going to be a good ending question because I know you guys have a whole thing you want to talk about there. Scott, what's the white whale of the places that you have not yet been, like, and as much as you watch and know what other people are doing around the country and the world, like, what's the place that you want to go?
I love this question because you guys are never going to guess it.
You're probably right. Even though we probably have a lot of different answers here.
I'll give you three guesses if you want to. You want to guess? Want to guess?
I won't.
See, the problem is you said we're never going to guess. So my immediate thoughts of,
I need a hint.
Decent state penitentiary. We're not doing that. It's not that. It's not anything super local or easy like Limp Mansion or anything. So
hey, Limp Mansion was awesome.
It is, but he said we're never going to guess it, so I know it's not that.
Yeah. Well, Scott went up with him by himself and with his team. He's been to some great, like, very popular places. You went to Villisca, didn't you?
Been to Sally, Villisca, Brushing Mountain State Pen in Petros, Tennessee, Missouri State. But this place I'm talking about, I'll give you guys a hint. It's a very, very important building for all of Americans.
The White House?
Yeah.
Yeah,
First McDonald.
Up yours, Tanner.
Can you imagine getting access to the White House?
Supposedly so haunted. Yeah,
I still have to imagine it. To peel back the curtain a little bit, I'm going on vacation to D.C. in a few weeks, and we were supposed to go, and they still didn't get our clearance set up, so we will be observing it from the outside.
Bring your FLIR camera.
Yeah.
There we are. Tanner.
I'll bring my disposable.
Yeah, just the stories you hear about, you know, from people in. That'd be something. I'm dating all the way back to Lincoln, like just that. That you, he's right. That would be a bucket list place to go to.
Tanner, I lied to you, by the way. I said I would turn it over to you, but I actually have one more question. Then I swear to God, I'll turn it over to you. when we were at the Paranormal Conference on the Unknown, and you were presenting evidence, you were talking to the crowd. Most of the people in the crowd seemed very, very cool. They were very interested. They wanted to converse with you about it. But I remember there was one or two people that talked so much. They talked over. They kind of semi-argued. The people that are so, I don't know if they're just like super into it or super critical of. How often do you deal with people who are so over the top in their response to your evidence.
You've got that. You'll get them on YouTube where they're like, you guys don't know what you're doing. You're not talking to spirits. You're only talking to demons.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah, sure. Okay. Right.
Welcome to my life growing up in Caro.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's not true. And then they got the holy rollers. Like, then you'll hear from like some people, oh, you're never going to get in there because they're super religious. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, and our logo is a cross.
Yeah.
We're on accident. We're Christian based. I am a Catholic. I go to Mass every Sunday. I don't know how much more religious I could be other than being like a deacon of my church. I you know, I mean if you believe in the Holy Spirit, then you really should believe in other spirits that are around. And there is so much evidence out there. I'd like for those folks to prove to me that I'm only speaking to demons. Like, you prove to me that that's who I'm talking to. You tell me, you show me the verse in the Bible that says that we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing. Tell me the verse. Show me. I want to see it in writing, because I haven't come across one solid verse that says that we shouldn't. It's just... But then you get from people that, you know, there's no changing their mind.
Right.
Just tell them, if you're that devout in your beliefs, and that's okay, because I'm not here to challenge them, then just pray for us. Add us to your prayer chain and be one of our prayer warriors, because I'm not going to not go in and talk to these spirits, because I believe that we are doing God's work. And what I mean by that is that maybe these spirits are stuck. Maybe they're not. All that I know is that all of the communication that is transpiring, God is allowing it to happen. So we aren't doing anything against him. We can't. I'm not that strong. And we'll get people like, oh, we don't want you guys coming in. We got evidence. We got stuff going on here, but we don't want you to come in here because all you guys are going to do is just stir it up. Hey, listen, I'm not a spoon. And this is not a bowl that we go in and stir things up. It's either haunted or it isn't. We'll make contact with whatever is there, but I'm not a blender. I'm not just going to go in and just, you know.
Yeah, because Zach baking it up.
It's just right. Like, for example, I called, this is a good example. I called the Titanic Museum in Branson, Missouri, and because I wanted to feature him on our show. Because we've got our first season we're about to shoot, and I wanted to feature him because I wanted to do Missouri locations first and then kind of just spiral out of Missouri and hit on other locations. And they were about the rudest place that I've ever spoke to, and basically told me to, you know what, myself, because blah 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 has got an exclusivity contract and Ghost Hunt Weekends comes here, and I mentioned the fact that Zach had been there, and they're like, well, we don't want any of his kind here again. And I'm like, I'm not like him.
Nobody is. That's the beauty of it, is nobody is Zach Bagans.
It's real easy to not be a shithead. I mean, yeah. It is.
No, I love Zach Bagans. I find him very entertaining, but I think he's an absolute dick. Tanner, I officially turn it over to you. I'm done. I promise. No more questions. You say so, things.
So before we really get into the Missouri State Penitentiary, Scott, you're going to come on here one time with me. We're just going to talk about our experiences at the hospital. Man, we could take up an entire show on that, or just in Caro in general, where we've been together. Between talking to doctors who actually used to work there, getting intelligent responses from them, and
that never happened. That
never happened. It absolutely never happened. We definitely were not talking to a Filipino doctor who had just passed.
No, not at all.
Well, it didn't.
Yeah. So. We were getting ready to get. I think we were on the phone about this or something else. And Scott tells me that he had just came back from Missouri State Penitentiary, and had an amazing story to tell me. And I'm telling you, it is amazing. Shannon Hunter, I saved this story for him to tell you all because it was just – it delves into a couple different things that I'm really interested in when it comes to the paranormal field. And I'm excited for him to retell the story because it's really good. So, Scott, go ahead.
For you to properly tell this story, I'm going to go back to the beginning a little bit. And I'm going to surmise this by saying we're all familiar with the Estes method, correct? Spirit box with – noise
blindfold.
Yeah, blindfold, noise canceling.
Okay, yeah.
Technically, it's the Estes method / Ganzfeld experiment, and the Ganzfeld part of it is the sensory deprivation part of it. The sensory deprivation element, it's not noise canceling headphones. It's essentially like if you were going to go to the range and utilize a weapon, a pew-pew, and their noise, their hearing protection. So how we utilize it is we hook them up. We used to hook them up to earbuds and then have those protective headphones on over it. But now we just use the Sony Bluetooth headphones. Even though we don't turn them on, they have their own passive way of noise canceling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So while we were at the Forest Hotel in Morehouse, Missouri, which burned and then was rebuilt. While I was doing an Estes method and listening to the white noise and listening to what Spirit was telling me, I had my first vision. I was not ready for it. I had no idea that you could get visions while doing an Estes method. All that I know is as I saw a man wearing a, one of those nice hats, like a,
bowler?
No, not a bowler. The one that Harrison Ford wears in Indiana Jones.
Like a fedora.
Yeah, he's wearing a fedora, and he's walking with, like, this beautiful woman, and they're dressed to the nines, and it's 1950s USA, you know, and I could see him plain as day walking on the street. And I don't know what that meant. I still don't. I'm still trying to piece that all together. But since then, and it was in black and white, by the way, since then, I get visions. One of my most powerful vision was even after the Estes session had ended, I was with that gay couple in Cairo that left. They moved away, but they I don't know if you were there for that one or not.
I don't think I was, but I met them. But
kind of they're good guys. Princess was one of the names because that's what he called his husband. So I just ended up calling him Princess too. And I can't think of his name right off bat, but I started having visions and I connected with their family in ways that I had never thought possible. And like I saw a rocking chair upside down and I was in the basement and I was connected to the soil of the house. And that's when I realized I need to be at the lowest point connected to the soil to get that geomagnetic energy. And I could see this rocking chair, but for whatever reason, I was seeing it upside down. And he was like, Matt, that was his name, Matt. He was like, oh, that was grandma's rocking chair. He broke it right before he committed suicide. He broke it. And I had it upside down working on it, trying to fix it because he blamed it on me. And then which was nuts, blew my mind. This kid shot himself right before he turned 16. And I kept saying late, he never told me the year. And I kept saying, why am I seeing the late '80s, 88, 89. Why am I not seeing 89? He goes, he wouldn't have seen 89. He died right before it turned 89, right at the tail end of 88. So he must've been thinking of the 88 to 89 transition, like the year, but never saw it because he killed himself. And then I kept seeing like a butterfly. And then I said, no, it's not a butterfly. It's a hawk. It's a phoenix. It's a phoenix rising. Like I'm seeing it. And I, you know, these images piece together and I'm like, it's on the hood of a car. And he goes, that's mom's Trans Am. And he backed that car. He had it in reverse and floored it and backed it into a church. It had all these stories. And I'm like, he's sharing all this stuff with me, man. I how would I know about your all of these details without connecting with Spirit on that way? But fast forward to Missouri State, right? I'm doing an Estes. We're doing a two-way Estes, actually. Jules of Jules Paranormal, who's on TikTok, is up three floors above me in housing unit one, and I'm down below her live on TikTok. And like I said, we're doing a split screen. And midway through this Estes session, and I didn't hear her say this because she went back and was like, hey, I actually said that. She says, on her end, she says, see through walls. Well, like I said, I didn't hear her because she's three floors above me. Midway through the Estes session, I start to see through the walls. I turned and looked at one of my investigators because I could see her. I could see her aura, her energy. And when she had started, the one that was shooting outside of the cell, she had moved. And I looked right at her and I said, there's someone standing right next to you, because I could see him wearing a cowboy hat, an older gentleman. He's protecting you. He's very protective. He's not going to let anything happen to you while you're in this housing unit. He's very fond of you because you're a country girl. And I'm looking right at Christy, and I got a blindfold on, and it freaked her out because I looked dead at her. And what was wild is I was able to see where doorways were. I could see other people sitting in cells, and like I said, they were like masses of energy. And even though I didn't know this at the time, I could see down below. We were on the first floor. There are floors below that floor. And I could see people walking around down below me. And then after that, I asked the lady that was, you know, because they always have somebody at the prison while you're there. How do we get down below? And she goes, how did you know that there are levels below? And I go, because I could see them down there. And she goes, huh. Well, that way is blocked off, and nobody has access to it. It's derelict and decaying and a lot of black mold down there, but there are cells down there. So there you have it. That's my – it's like one more, like, notch, I guess you could say. Like one more thing that helps me further my ability to be able to communicate and interact with the spirits that we come across, is that now maybe I'll be able to see them. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Now, the one other story that I was really excited about is the equipment box down by the
gas chamber. That's been debunked.
You didn't tell me.
We figured it out. We looked over footage. They walked right past it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Why would they move it? That makes no sense.
No one moved it. They just walked right past it.
Oh, really? Okay, wow.
Yeah, one of the cameras catches the box just sitting there, and they just walk right past it. It's no big deal. It would have been an awesome story to share.
Yeah.
Had it been real. unexplainable.
But, importantly, it is – I know it sounds silly, but it's kind of nice – to hear from someone, you know, who's in the community, just go, nah, that didn't work out.
That didn't work.
You know, yeah. I feel like we don't hear that very often. You know, most of the time that you talk to people who do this kind of thing, I feel like we hear more often than not, well, you know, we're still pretty sure there's something with that. Yeah, definitely everything we got is this and that. It's a little comforting, is not the right word, but it's just
reassuring.
It's just kind of nice. Yeah, it's reassuring to know that there are people like us to that degree who are in. You know, in this community to some degree, who go, yeah, not everything works out, man.
Yeah, it's
not
all. It lends all credibility to the stuff that is real.
Right. So then when you have some really compelling evidence, you can go, here's all the stuff that didn't work out.
Right.
I don't know what this is. I got nothing for this.
I've been shot at too many times to bullshit people. I don't have time.
And that wasn't even in Cairo.
That makes sense. Right. Weirdly.
Shannon, I hate you so much sometimes.
I hate myself. That's why I'm suicidal. Go ahead.
So Scott, you definitely have to come back on. We're going to talk about some of the stuff we've done together. There was so much to come to this episode. But, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
Of course, man.
Yeah, for the record, I told Tanner, I'll tell you what, man, I'll set this one out. I'll let you interview him so that way I'm not stepping on your toes. He's like, no, I want you to be there. And then I absolutely stepped on his toes the entire time, so I apologize to him. Next time, I'll just let you.
To be fair, we do this every time.
We do this every time.
You got this,
Tanner.
You know what? We'll come along for the ride, and then we go, hey, Tanner, shut up. I got a question.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that I get really interesting guests on this show. I've got Scott here visiting with us.
Tanner, you're the only one that gets guests on this show.
That's correct.
Fair.
Tanner is I don't know how much Tanner means to the American Ghost Project. I assume a lot because he's a great guy, but he is vital on this show because he gets us good guests and he really puts up with a lot of our bullshit. So thank you, Tanner. And thank you, Scott, for being on. It really was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Listeners out there, if you guys want to check out anything working on at American Ghost Project, it's his tags for just about everything. I know, Facebook, you got American Ghost Project fans, right?
Is that that's the just page? The fan page. Everything is hashtag page, American Ghost Project.
Listeners, go check it out. You may see me pop up there every once in a while, especially if they show up in Carroll.
I mean, just put up the video or re-put up the video of Tyler.
Did you?
Yeah, just to showcase Tyler, give him a little bit of credibility whenever it comes to, he was the first one that showed up. Tanner wasn't there.
He never is. And we'll be happy to post those links on our Facebook page too. So for our fans that want to check out American Ghost Project, if you don't want to look it up because you're lazy, we know you. We'll post the link and do the work for you.
We'll put it with the show.
Yeah.
I'll share with you a Tyler Adams story. We showed into Cairo that first day to investigate the hospital, right? That day that you showed up. Stop coughing.
I'm sorry. I'm dying over here.
So he fits right in.
pull over. Oh, Tanner knows. We pull over, and I'm talking to some local cops, and they're totally into it because I'm in our – by the way, we have an ambulance. I don't know if Tanner's.
He has told us that. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah.
Well, that was the E350 ambulance. Now we have like a Freightliner.
Oh,
this thing's
so subtle. not at all. Nothing subtle about a 5-ton ambulance driving down with ghosts and crap on it. Anyway, I'm talking to them, and I mean they're like radioing back and forth, and here comes this fire truck pulling in to this abandoned parking lot, and he goes over the radio. There's only room for one paranormal investigative team in this town, and it's me. Like through the PA.
What?
That's how I met. I was like, whatever, dude, because I couldn't say anything back. But he pulled up, got out, and we met. We linked up, and you'll see in that video, if you pay attention to the very beginning of that little St. Mary's episode one, you'll see the fire truck. He's on duty. He's got his radio in his back pocket, which is interesting. So,
And for the listeners, the reason why we're bringing this up and the episode was reposted, we lost Tyler week before last, and we just had his funeral. So it's been a rough couple weeks, dealing with that, but Tyler was, me and him were family through the fire department. We went to school together all through, school years. And then he was a member of the team. So it's been rough, but we got some good memories with him.
So way to end on a good note, Scott. That's fantastic.
Oh no, dude, I'm cool with it.
I want to honor him.
I'm happy.
Hey, and you guys did. I mean, Mounds was there. I felt like every county in the area had a representative there. And that was the longest funeral procession I've been in my life.
2.5 miles.
Wow.
So how long? Oh, the procession itself.
Yeah. 2.5 miles long of cars, vehicles.
I felt like
fire ambulance apparatus and personal vehicles.
I thought we were driving to Chicago.
Yeah.
So. Like an hour long. Oh, that was great. It was a way to honor him and his memory.
Well, Scott, thanks, man. We'll get talking this more. We'll set up another show, and like I said, it may just be something where me and you just jump, record a bunch of stuff, us talking about stories.
I think that would be best.
Yeah, and it may need to be one of those things where we just need to archive, because that's part of our mission is archiving the things that you're going to remember things that I don't, and I'll remember things that you don't. And we're both having these experiences in Cairo, and we definitely need to archive them.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, some of it didn't happen on film. It was stuff that we just seen in person.
Well, I have always heard personal experiences matter the most. You know,
let me share this. I know that you guys want to end it, but I need to share this because this
do your thing, man.
No, you're good. I've been wanting to end it for years.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yes, please.
Anyway, so you know that I've been to the Villisca Axe Murder House. Yes. Villisca is one of those places. And I wanted to honor them by calling it the Josiah and Sarah Moore Historical Home, because that's what it's officially called. We went there. We stayed in Clarinda, Iowa. You can't stay in Villisca. There's no Airbnbs there. But we stayed in Clarinda. And by the way, this is what's strange. And look this up. Challenge me. The address for the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas, and the address to the Villisca Axe Murder House are the same.
That's weird.
And no one can explain it. And it's not like 13 Whitaker Way or something weird. It's like 502nd, 500. What is it? Look it up real quick.
508 North 2nd Street.
Yeah, 508 North 2nd Street. Now look up the other one. It's going to be 508 something 2nd Street. And no one can explain that to me, by the way. I'm like, there are no coincidences in our business. We investigated these homes a week apart. I do not recommend that. it's too much. They were a week apart. What's the other address?
I'm pulling it up now.
Growing up, did you ever watch the show?
2nd Street.
508. Yeah. The only difference is the direction.
Direction, east and north.
What is happening with my camera?
I notice a little green flashing every so often. Okay. Yeah.
Ignore it, whatever.
Scott, before we get out of here, I want to ask you, I feel like we're roughly the same age, all of us here are. Did you watch the show Sightings growing up?
Yeah.
Because I remember the Sally House being out there and scaring the hell out of me. Is it as bad as they made it seem?
Sally was chill. Not to me. I mean, to me it was chill. It made one of my investigators throw up. Like, she legitimately got sick and threw up behind the car that we brought, the Cadillac Escalade, that my mom's Escalade. And she was out there throwing up.
Wait, who? You had to mess with which one it was. Cause,
I mean... Oh, okay. Yeah, hardcore Christie. I mean, someone you can't mess with her.
Like that,
let me get to my heartwarming story about Sarah. Yeah. So I walk into the way into the Villisca Axe Murder House is through the kitchen door, which may be how the killer got in there. You guys know the story of the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not cool, but I'm glad that you guys know. So I asked Sarah, I said, listen, Sarah. We're here to honor you, Ida and Lena Stillinger. We're here to Ina and Lena Stillinger. We're here to honor your family and those two beautiful girls, your memory. We're not here to talk about your death. We're not here to communicate with the killer. We're here to communicate with you all because we don't want to focus on your death. There was a lot that happened before that. Let's talk about your life. What did you guys like to do? Where did you like to go? We already know what church you went to. What did you? Who were your friends? What did you guys go to dances and parties? Did you play out in the street? Did you have horses? If you had guests coming over, and you knew that you had guests coming over, what would you make them in your kitchen? Can you fill the house with that smell? Now, again, this is a personal experience of ours, but. We got to stay at the Villisca Axe Murder House 3 nights in a row, and it's ridiculously active. I'll get to that, but the third night, now we stayed in Clarinda. We didn't actually stay the night in the house because we couldn't, but the third night that we went there at 5 p.m., we walked in the kitchen, and I stopped, and I go, what is that? And Christy is right behind me, and she goes, huh, it smells like somebody was and the stove's not on. It doesn't work. And Johnny Hauser isn't going to like stage synths in the house. He's a pretty legit guy. And he's right behind me and he goes, huh, that's fried potatoes. Somebody was cooking fried taters in here. That's common. That's common. That's a common smell. And I go, well, I did ask her to fill the house with the smell of what she would cook for guests if they came over. And he goes, oh, she likes you guys. It's made me feel like I'm doing the right, we're on the right path.
I agree. Yeah, and it's a much, much nicer, happier story to end on. So we got to get out of here. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We're actually a little over on time, but we own the network, so who cares? But I once again, I want to thank Scott. I want to thank Tanner for bringing these special guests on. Hunter, of course, and for myself, thank you all for listening. We will definitely post the American Ghost Project stuff on our Facebook page here in a second, and we highly encourage everyone to go check them out. Tanner, any last things before we get out of here, and I will let you close the show.
I'm working on some more special guests coming up soon. Scott, I'm definitely going to have you back. We're going to talk about that. Probably tomorrow I might get a hold of you.
Okay.
And I got some projects I'm working on. That not even Shannon or Hunter know about yet. So, yeah, there's that.
Well, I have a special guest that I would like to announce really quick, too. I've been in talks with on the next I Want to Believe. We are actually going to have Zach Bagans. Got a text. He listened to this show, and he doesn't want anything to do with us. Well, that's a shame. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with an all-new Pro Wrestling Unscripted, which just sounds really weird after talking about ghosts
after this,
an hour and 10 minutes.
Our ordering is strange.
But we are strange people. Scott, thank you once again. Tanner, Double H, myself, we are out of here. Until next time. How do we end the show? It's been 2 months since we did the show.
You got to keep watching the ski. Skies.
What
I
Tanner.
Later.